Christian greetings to each of you this morning. It's a blessing to be here. I enjoyed the service. We think of prisons. It's obvious this morning that none of you are in prison. And we appreciate that fact. Alcatraz is an interesting story, and if you were, I don't think anyone ever escaped from that prison. I might be wrong on that, but sometimes humanity, sometimes each one of us can be in a situation where we feel like we're in prison. And I want to tell you this morning that God's power can reach in and get you out of prison. And I'm not talking about a prison with walls and padlocks and chains. I'm talking about a prison of sin and prison of self and of bondage. It comes in our minds sometimes. That's what we struggle with. Anyway, really appreciated being with you, and I appreciate your hospitality and getting to know you all a little better. And we expect that relationship will continue. This is Mother's Day, and first of all, I bring greetings from the Kirkwood Mennonite Church, and it's a little distance away from here, but I invite you all there. It's just a simple matter of a couple plane tickets, and you can be there. So we did find that out. This is Mother's Day, and I want to wish a mother's happy birthday. Yes, happy Mother's Day. And so I do plan to bring a message related to that. It's a message I've preached before to our home congregation a couple years ago. The title of the message is Finding Fulfillment in Motherhood. Finding Fulfillment in Motherhood. And we all know who mothers are. We're here, it's already mentioned this morning, we're here, each one of us, because of a mother. There's no one here that did not have a mother. So this message is meant to honor and lift up motherhood. However, we recognize that sometimes there are those who long to be a mother and for some reason cannot bear children. And I don't know if there's situations like that here. But you also can have a mother's heart and find fulfillment in that. We also recognize those who have lost a mother. And mothers who have lost a child, may God comfort you today. My own mother, who was already referred to, I was not expecting that, but that was very interesting. Thank you for that, Conrad. I don't even remember that story. My mother would be 87 years old if she was living today. She died 30 years ago at 57. She was a very young lady, as I feel today. One of the things that my father told us children, sometimes when we were giving our mother a hard time, he said, take care of your mother. She's the only one you'll ever have. So, young men, hear that. Some quotes, and some of these are kind of, as quotes can be, kind of quotish, but there's some maybe nuggets of truth in them. Motherhood is not a hobby, it is a calling. You do not collect children because you find them so cute. It is not something to do if you can squeeze the time in. It is what gave you is what God gave you time for. And maybe one more. A partnership with God is motherhood. What strength, what purity, what self-control, what love, what wisdom should belong to her who helps God fashion an immortal soul. Maybe I'll say that again. It's a little complicated sentence structure. A partnership with God is motherhood. What strength, what purity, what self-control, what love, what wisdom should belong to her who helps God fashion an immortal soul. I believe this morning that, I don't just believe, I know that motherhood and fatherhood are at the crux of the satanic war against God. And I'm not, I was told not to apologize for what I'm going to say this morning, so I will try not to do that. But the message I have this morning runs counterculture to what we hear outside these walls and what we pick up. Ephesians 6:4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's a Bible concept, a Bible command to, it says ye fathers. Ye fathers here is a word, the word for fathers can be used as parents. Parents, bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Because there's a battle going on for the hearts and souls of men. And we're a part of that. Motherhood is a ministry that encourages and facilitates children growing up and choosing to live for Christ in the church, and discourages and hinders Satan's efforts to entice them to his kingdom. So it's part of this, motherhood is a part of, along with fatherhood, but it's a part of this effort that's being waged between God and Satan for the control, for the destiny of man. Motherhood is under attack in our society. Satan has always been trying to destroy homes, but it seems like today's he's making inroads in a way he's never done before, because of the erosion of the Judeo-Christian foundations that are being dismantled in our societies. I believe the assault of feminism and its children. Feminism and its children. Now, what I mean by children is the ripple effects or the after effects of feminism, and these things include broken homes, homosexuality, and transgenderism, has taken its toll on motherhood and on the homes of the nation. There's a direct assault on mothers, on what true femininity is. It's a true assault on that. If Satan is successful in warping and distorting motherhood today, in our lives today, in our culture today, he will have more success in influencing future generations of families to follow the easy road away from God, truth, and morality. You can turn your Bibles to Psalm 31, and I want to preach a message from Psalm 31, Proverbs 31. Now, lest I immediately discourage you by the length of the sermon, I will say right up front that I'm not going to talk about every verse here, because if I would talk about every verse in these verses, we would be here for a very long time. So I'm only going to pull some points, and maybe you can do the rest of the study on your own. But Proverbs 31, finding fulfillment in motherhood. We want to read these verses 10 through 31, and try to understand and keep in the back of your mind as we read this, how can mothers find fulfillment? I'm not a mother, and it's a little dangerous for me to stand up here and preach. I've already preached a Mother's Day sermon. I don't know if it was this one or not, but some of the mothers came to me afterward and said that you preach to mothers different than you preach to fathers. You don't preach strong enough to mothers. So I don't know. I'm preaching to a new crowd this morning. But I want to preach what I have here. There's a lot of things in here. But how to find fulfillment in motherhood? And again, I feel the difficulty because I'm not a mother. But I trust that as we look at these verses and look at some truths together, this message can be an encouragement to you as mothers. Proverbs 31, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. That word also could mean double layers, or the thought of very well clothed. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, and when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Number one, finding fulfillment in motherhood. Number one is finding fulfillment in motherhood means first finding fulfillment with God. And I take you to verse 30. We just read that. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. What's involved in fearing the Lord? Let your mind wander on that. I think about that a little bit. And we use that phrase, fearing the Lord. Now, I think we understand what it means. We don't mean living in terror of the Lord. But living in fear of the Lord means being born again. It means living by faith. It means crucifying selfish intents and desires, crucifying what I really want to do and the way I want to live my life, and sacrificing that for what God has called me to do. Fearing the Lord is not something we do Sunday mornings. It's not something we do only in trials and temptations. Fearing the Lord is something we do every day. Proverbs 1 verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Our fear of God, and I'm preaching to this side this morning, but I think most of the things can relate to this side as well. Our fear of God is foundational to all I do. It's foundational to what I choose to think about and the little decisions I make through the day. How thankful am I? Am I living in truth or in some fantasy land? Living by the fear of the Lord. A woman that feareth the Lord. While she is busy with so many things, finding fulfillment and relationship with God comes first. Even if communicating with God is done multitasking, and it's a well-known fact that this side can do that, multitasking, and this side can't so well. And I'm not sure why that is, other than God made it that way. We are different. And sometimes your ministry, your fellowship with God is done in a multitasking fashion, and that's okay. That's okay. That's part of our... Why is it anyway that we separate our spiritual lives and our physical lives? Aren't they all one and the same? Anyway, number two, finding fulfillment in motherhood means first finding fulfillment in womanhood. Genesis 1:27 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Are you finding fulfillment as a woman? Maybe that's a strange question to you. And this is a very simple concept. And we wonder, how is it possible for man to complicate the simplicity of this statement? God created male and female. I wonder if 100 years ago, a preacher here in Stettler, Alberta, would have felt it necessary to make that point. I don't know, but he probably would have. He was preaching the whole Bible. But this concept is again under assault, and there's, I guess, some things in between male and female, according to some things some people say. The first verse we read, who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? Why would something of such value want to be something else? Romans 9:20 says, nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? This morning it dishonors our Creator when we do not accept who God made us to be. Our Creator knows more about what he wants from us, from each one of us, than we do. He knows more about what he wants from us than what we do. Mothers have a part to play in encouraging girls to be girls and boys to be boys. And that's biblical. That's gender, sex distinctions are important because God said so, because he made them male and female. And sometimes this comes out in our dress. How do we dress girls like girls? Do we dress boys like boys? And you might think that's a very small point, but these are things to think about. And a lot of this, and we can focus on the externals, but a lot of this goes to the heart, or a lot of this goes to the attitude, or how the male and female relate to one another, especially in a marriage, because out of the marriage is what comes children who are very influenced by how father loves mother and how mother respects and honors and submits to father. And when these things are reversed, it brings confusion. If we don't want men to wear dresses, women should not be wearing pants. Number three, finding fulfillment is not equal to being a superwoman. Now, as we read these verses, I'm not a woman, but I think I would be a little bit overwhelmed. And I'm not going to reread the verses, but you just let your eyes scan over these verses here and how busy this woman was. By the way, I don't know. You go to the beginning of the chapter, it says, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. So this was a king's mother. She was I guess you could call her a queen mother. She was, I don't know. The Bible doesn't say anything about her. But she must have been quite a woman. This tribute that this king gave to his mother is quite spectacular. In fact, I don't know that there's any woman here that measures up to this. Maybe there is. I should not maybe be quite so quick to say. But the superwoman complex is not what God is asking for. You don't need to be a superwoman to find fulfillment. Although reading this can give us the impression. I don't believe we'll let the Superman and Superwoman ideas with television where it originated. We don't need to be that in order to find fulfillment. Instead of a superwoman, God is calling mothers to a godly character and submitted to super Christ-likeness. Don't try to be a superwoman. Don't try to do things you can't do. One of the things about my mother is that she was not someone that could do a lot. As I read over this and look at this, she, in many ways, did not, she was not like this woman. And There's only one other person here this morning. There's two people here this morning that do remember her other than myself. But she did what she could. And on her funeral day, the message that my message title that my father picked to be preached on her funeral was she had done what she could. And she did. She did. But it wasn't all this. So, fulfillment does not mean being a superwoman and doing all this. It simply means faithful in doing what you can, putting Christ first and yourself last. Number four, finding fulfillment in industry. There's a couple phrases here. She seeketh, she worketh, she bringeth, she considereth, she girdeth, she strengtheneth, she perceiveth, she reacheth forth, she maketh, she delivereth, and you about get tired. But again, and this point is similar to the last, the secret in accomplishing all that needs accomplished, that secret is not in accomplishing all that needs accomplished, but a heart that's willing to be poured out in service. Why? Because she loves the Lord and her family. She may have goals, and you mothers this morning have goals for beauty, goals for order, and goals for a well-supplied pantry, and an organized and clean rooms and bedrooms and basements and mudrooms. And we, again, going back to this Hutterite colony yesterday, which was a really enjoyable experience, I didn't see a speck of dirt anywhere. I can't imagine. I'm talking about inside houses and things like that. But all this performance comes secondary to loving God, loving your husband, and loving your family. Sometimes I think mothers can get this a bit turned around. Do what you can, and God can take your little and make it much. Number five, finding fulfillment in marriage. Talking about supermen and superwomen, you mothers will find that your husbands are not supermen either. Verses 11 and 12, it says, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will not break the trust of her husband. She will do him good. God bless you as you do that. It is, finding fulfillment in marriage is a teamwork, and I'm talking to this side of the house now. She needs your praise, husbands. Verse 28 says, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Mutual praise between fathers and mothers, husbands and wives, is needed. Praise one another at least once a day. It's easy to criticize each other when things go wrong. And maybe that's a different, maybe Canadian culture is different than that. But I know in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania culture, it's easy to be critical. Things aren't quite the way they should be. And it's very easy, it's very quick to come out of our mouths something that needs to change. We as fathers, I mean, we have the responsibility, and this is not right. Something needs to change. Well, we can go through our whole day talking about the things that need to change and forget to compliment and appreciate and praise one another. Praise your spouse. So do that. We take each other for granted. And I don't think we mean it when we forget to compliment and praise. We don't mean it. We just have this kind of mindset that if things are going pretty much normally and how they should, that's what we expect, and so we don't have to say anything about it. But no, that's not quite the right. I'm preaching to myself here this morning too, and we tend to somehow think that some of this is automatic, but relationships need tender care and tender love. going back to verse 28 again, her children rise up and call her blessed, and her husband. This for the mutual blessing, it brings blessings in home life. And a husband that praises and blesses his wife will find his children doing the same. Finding frustration instead of fulfillment in marriage will bring a harvest of frustration and a reaping of bitterness. I want to turn to Proverbs 12, verse 4, where it says, "A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones." And that can be the same turned around as well. If we shame our wives as husbands, we bring rottenness into our marriage relationships. Number six, finding fulfillment in child rearing, raising children. Again, back to verse 28. There's a lot of verses I'm not talking about this morning, but verse 28 again, her children call her blessed. This blessedness is a witness to the faithfulness of God. And the influence of a godly mother with her family in Walmart speaks much more loudly and more powerfully than my message here this morning. Did you catch what I said? Mothers, as you train your children, fathers too. You go shopping at Walmart, and I know our family sometimes wasn't always what it should have been at Walmart either. But a well-behaved family and a husband and a family, a picture, a Christian family shopping at Walmart and how a Christian family relates to one another, that speaks more powerfully than a message like this, I feel, because it's a sermon in shoes. It is a ministry. Motherhood is a ministry that is no less important than other church ministries, and it's probably more important. Understand what I'm saying. Faithful mothers have changed history. George R. Brunk spoke highly of his mother. 2 Timothy gives us the account of Timothy's mother and his grandmother, who had great influence on his life to the point that Paul recognized that. In society, however, having children ranks pretty low. In many cases, lower than college, lower than careers, and lower than travel, lower than the American dream or maybe the Canadian dream. Children, according to society, sometimes, say it this way. Children are not a bother, and the parents of children should not be pitied. We get the opposite feeling sometimes. Psalm 127, 3-5 says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed when they speak with the enemies in the gate." And I have in my notes here, I have notes relating to abortion, and I'm not sure. I don't think I'm going to go into all that. There's millions and millions of children that should be here. There's millions and millions of adults that should be in our world but are not here. And we wonder how God allows it. But let's be the opposite of that. Children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Happy is the man that hath his quiver, not sad, not pity the man, but happy. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. Why do parents have children anyway? Why do we have children? Why do mothers want children? So we can take cute pictures of them and share the pictures. Well, obviously not. It's a Bible command. Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. I remember when we were first newly married, and this would have been back in the beginning of the Bill Clinton administration. Maybe most of you here cannot connect with what I'm saying, but It was not a time of, I would say it was not a time of national renewal as far as the United States goes. Probably it was maybe a bit the other way. Culture seemed to be going downhill, not uphill. Culture doesn't really go uphill very much anyway, because we live in a fallen world. But I remember, again, being newly married and talking to my minister at church and saying, I don't know if it's a safe world to bring children into. And he said, be fruitful and multiply. And so what connected with me on that was to have children is an act of faith. Is an act of faith. Luke 18:8 says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Well, faith is propagated throughout time by faithful mothers and fathers raising faithful children. So when Jesus comes, will he find faith? He will find faith as faithful fathers and mothers raise their children for him. Finally, in closing, be not weary in well-doing. In due season, you shall reap if you faint not. Finding fulfillment does not always happen today or even next year. Look at verse 25. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. Sometimes the rewards don't seem, they seem completely missing. but don't be weary in well-doing. In due season, you shall reap if you faint not. Verse 31 says, give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. That to me is a forward look as well. Many will be the rewards of faithful mothers, some in this life and most in the next. To the mothers here this morning and the fathers that love them, may God reward you and bless you for your faithfulness. Let's kneel for prayer.